Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Ulama Profile with myself, Ubaidullah Boja. It is another Thursday evening, it is another profile. Wallah, respected listeners, the greatest legacy that we can leave is the service of the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humility and sincerity. That the day we leave this world, everyone is acknowledging that the khidmat and the service that is done for the deen of Allah by us as an individual will be testimonial to what will be given to us in our book of good deeds. However, as long as it is accompanied with simplicity and sincerity, there will always be perpetuity in that services. And today we speak about people like that. Today we discuss individuals and personalities and giants who had served the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To give you an understanding of who we're speaking, we are not speaking of a person who done a khidmat, but somebody who's achieved in his one lifetime what perhaps you and I, given five lifetimes, may not be able to achieve. And we are discussing and profiling and speaking the life of Hazrat Maulana Harun Abbas Umar Rahimahullahu Ta'ala Rahmatan Wasi'a. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala fill his qabr with nur. May Allah grant him the highest of stages in Jannatul Firdaus. And may Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala overlook all his shortcomings. There's so much to speak about. There's so much to talk about. To start off today's program, and to speak with regards to the aspects of Hazrat's life, we have one of his bosom friends who worked with him for a very long time, Brother Hussein Mullah, who is from the town of Ispingo. He is the chairman of the masjid where Hazrat Maulana served. Uncle Hussein, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Uncle Hussein from the Radio Islam, the Jamiatul Ulama, our condolences to the madrasa in Talimuddin, the masjid in Ispingo, each one of y'all that had knew Morana for such a long time. Morana served there so many decades. Really, our condolences to you. And we make dua, inshallah, Allah give you al-ni'ma al-badal, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept whatever khidmat you and Morana had done over the years, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen.
Uncle Hussein, you knew Maulana for a very, very long time. You worked with Maulana. Let's go back before we start in terms of Hazrat's khidmat. How long the friendship goes between yourself and Maulana?
Okay, I'd like to begin first of all by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praise is due to Allah, most gracious, most merciful. And salutations and greetings be upon our beloved Nabi, Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, brother, our relationship goes for over 30 years in the Ispingo Beach community.
MashaAllah.
Where I have also served as a trustee and chairman of the masjid. But alhamdulillah, Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali has served the masjid for approximately 43 years. And being an imam of this masjid, he was also not only the imam, but also would supervise and teach the maktabs. And many families were privileged to have over three generations who were taught by Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali in the community of Springwood Beach. So our relationship has been for that long. And also it was not just a relationship of an employer-employee, but alhamdulillah, the impact and the aura and personality of Hazrat Maulana was so great that alhamdulillah, he created an impact not only on our community, but all communities, not only in this country, but over the world. And at the same time, the relationship has been such that it would never be a relationship of a trustee or an imam. It was a relationship, alhamdulillah, that worked so well that we, as the communities, have benefited greatly from this very, very great personality.
Tell us, Maulana Harun, we all know him as an alim or as a teacher at the Darul Uloom and the Sheikhul Hadith. But tell us, what was Maulana like when it came to imamat at the masjid where you serve?
Alhamdulillah, Maulana's love for the Musalla was very great. He was very passionate about the masjid. He would always want to keep the masjid as abad as possible. And as far as him being an imam of the masjid, you know, you would remember that when Maulana stood on that musalla, just his presence and the namaz that he performed and the time that he would take to perform his namaz and the contentment. And many a time we would say, for example, that when we leave our homes and if the Isha namaz is started in the masjid, I know I will get the first rakat. That's how Mawlana would perform his salah, with that time and contentment of his. And also just to say that in Mawlana's sickness, in his last stages, where he has been going for dialysis for at least 3 times a week, on the days that he was not going, he would be back on the musalla and be performing the salah, whether it was the Zuhar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, Namaz. He would continue performing the salah in his sickness. So that was also such a great ni'mat that we had. And from Mawlana's side, that in being the imam of the masjid, that not only when he was healthy that he used to be on the musalla, but even in his sickness, he took us through and made sure he's there and his presence was there in our masajid.
Mawlana made imamah there for about 42 years. Perhaps one thing that I'm not too sure of, and I would like you to expound on, what was the punctuality of Mawlana in the imamat over this period of time? Obviously, barring the time when he was sick, we know he was on dialysis for a while. But how was Mawlana with regards to his punctuality in normal moments?
No, that goes without saying, Mawlana. He was absolutely, when it came to his salah, punctuality, even in the madrasa, the maktab, the imamat, he was always there. He was on time. He was make sure that, for every salah, you didn't have to look back or turn around. Mawlana was there for his namaz. There were times when Mawlana was out of the country, but he would put somebody to perform the salah. And also, after about in the last 12, 15 years, we then also appointed a deputy imam also for the masjid. But as far as our Hazrat Mawlana Harun Rahmatullahi Alayhi is concerned, he was, as I say, as far as the musalla was concerned, he had great love for it. He was also always very passionate about the musalla and also who goes onto the musalla. Even in the month of Ramadan, even for Taraweeh, he would ensure that people who came in and performed the Taraweeh that filled all the requirements of Sharia, and also people that those who perform, even alims that would stand in the musalla. So he had the utmost and greater respect for the musalla and ensured that the sanctity and the respect was always observed throughout his entire life.
Angal, in terms of Mawlana's personality with the general public, with imamat, we know an imam is the pivotal person in the community. People, they tend to gravitate around him because obviously he's the go-to person. Mawlana being so busy, what was the link that the general community had with the imam in terms of Hazrat Mawlana Harun?
Well, the community is, I don't think that in our community anybody would say that, they didn't have this link with Mawlana. Mawlana had the special care and special affection with every person. He made an impact on every person in the community, some way or the other. Whether it was a young child or a young boy that come to the masjid, or it's an elderly person, Mawlana would take out his time, would put his hand over the child's head, greet the child, or always be caring of those children that would come to the madrasa, or people would come. After namaz, sometimes he would sit on the bench and people would come and then sit down and engage with Mawlana. If Mawlana had to engage further, he would take them to his flat and engage with them. So he had always given his time to the community, always caring, always asking about the families, about their parents, ensuring the community is taken off. He always took care of widows himself in the community, always had this care for the underprivileged and those who were downtrodden. And also, Hazrat Mawlana had always very, very great concern in uplifting the spirits of the sick people. He would always go take a few musallis, go and visit sick people, when anybody was sick in the community. Not only when people were sick in the community that Mawlana would visit, when he was in hospital, when he was going for his dialysis, after the dialysis, he will be then taken around into the wards and visit male patients and uplift the spirits of those people who were sick in hospital itself. And this was this very, very great and very noble and quality that Hazrat Rahmatullah had for the community, for those who were sick, and also generally for the community at large. Even now, during the stages of the lockdown, Maulana's concern was about communities, the people living in the informal settlements, that we're going without food, to ensure that we who are able, ensure that together with other community members, provide food for the needy. So he would be always, he had a lot of fikr and concern for the community itself. For generally, even the young boys, he would always inquire about them, you know, try to find out when would you be making nikah. And you know, always have this concern in his heart for each one. So he had a special affection for his students in a different way, for the elderly, for the young, and generally for the people itself. He had, in his own personality, he would have that love and affection for our community.
Respected listeners, we are speaking and we are discussing the life of Hazrat Maulana Harun Abbas Umar, rahimahullahu ta'ala. If you knew Maulana, you interacted with him, you would like to share your experiences, the number is 011-854-1548. And inshallah, we would take your message and we would read it on air. We would take your call. Alternatively, if you could send me a message, the number is 071-878-9748. And inshallah, we would like to read your messages on air. There's quite a few already that have come to me. I would endeavor to read it. But before we do that, we have the chairman of the masjid where Maulana was. He was speaking to us with regards to the khidmat of Maulana in that regard. Uncle Hussein, before we ask you to leave, some other the aspects that you probably have shared for the prepared for the program that you would like to share for the listeners of the radio?
Yeah, I just want to say that, first of all, that I may not have done justice to the talk today, but alhamdulillah, you know, it was for our life and for those who have interacted with Maulana, it has been a very great opportunity for us to be with him, to be in his company, to be at his service, not only in the masjid, but Maulana and myself, just on a personal level, we were also trustees of Salah-e Darain Foundation, that's involved in putting our masjid in various areas. And in September last year, Maulana himself went into the trenches to lay the foundation of the Ottawa Masjid, the Farooq Azam Masjid in Ottawa, which Maulana has been the Amir and chairperson of. So Maulana has served on a number of institutions, a number of Darul Ulooms, madrasas. And as you know, he also taught Bukhari in the United States of America in the Darul Ulum over there. So besides teaching in our Darul Ulum in Madrasa Talimuddin, he would also then travel to Madrasa in Namia in Camperdown, where he also taught the Bukhari Sharif, and toward the end, and in recently in Madrasa Hamidiyah in Overport, where he has been teaching also. So Maulana has been of service, not just to us of Sepingo Beach, but I just want to say that he's been serving the Ummah at large throughout the world in many, many countries. And I was also very honored to be in the presence of Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullahi in Hajj we did together in 1994. So, in the time that we spent to always, his lips will always be moist with zikr or tilawat or the reading of the Quran. Also, I would like to say that Maulana had showed a lot of interest even in the refugees, and he went out of his way to even mobilize the community, even the ladies in the community who had come and given their jewelry to sell for the orphanages that we are currently supporting, the Syrian orphanages in Turkey and the bakery projects, etc. So Maulana has been instrumental in many of these projects and showing a lot of love. I would like to just say that, you know, Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah's demise is indeed a great loss for us, for our community, for our masajid, for our darulum, and also I think to the ummah at large. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him the highest stages in Jannah. And also we as the trustees and also the Springbok Beach Muslim Association and the masajid, we'd also like to seek forgiveness if we have in any way inconvenience Maulana in any way or hurt his feeling. But alhamdulillah, as I've mentioned to you earlier and alluded to you earlier, our relationship with Hazrat Maulana rahmatullahi has been a remarkable one between trustees and as an imam itself.
Uncle, Jazakallah so much for your time, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, no, I just want to say that, alhamdulillah, I just had a great opportunity the other day to speak to his son, Maulana Muhammad Abbas Umar. I know if you know his son is currently in Turkey. Sheikh Awama, and alhamdulillah, he is keeping well, and he also conveys his salams to everyone here in South Africa also, inshallah.
Jazakallah so much. That was Brother Hussein, Assalam Rahmatullah, the chairman of the Spingo Beach of the Masjid, where Morana served for a very long time. To give you an understanding, that Morana was a Jami'a Shakhsiyat. In English, perhaps you would translate it as an all-encompassing personality. So we spoke about Morana with regards to his imamate for the period of 42 years. Now let's look at another aspect, and that was Morana as a teacher as well as the Amir of the Jamiatul Ulama in KwaZulu-Natal. And now we have the Amir of the Jamiatul Ulama KZN, Hazrat Morana Ahmed Muhammad Isab, who's blessed us many a times on the program. Morana, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, Mawlana Ubaidullah Sahib and the listeners of Radio Islam.
Mawlana, you were fortunate to be one of the earliest students, I think, of Hazrat Mawlana Harun Abbas Umar, as well as thereafter working with Mawlana as he was the Amir for a period of time at the Jamiatul Ulama KZN.
That's correct, Mawlana. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I was very privileged as a young boy when I first came across Hazrat Mawlana. It was at a walima function. And I was sitting among the guests, and I saw this very young alim, a very dynamic orator, very captivating speaker, spoke very eloquently and very rapidly and fast as well. And I think it had all the young people sitting there absolutely mesmerized by his talk. So that must have been the very first time I had come across Hazrat Mawlana Harun Sahib, and I didn't even know who he is. You know, being a youngster, one doesn't have much interest in ulama sometimes at that time. Subsequently, alhamdulillah, I had the good fortune as a teenager also in the late 1980s that we made Hajj with Hazrat Mawlana. And one thing that he taught me in Hajj in particular was how he felt at the Jamarat. And that remained with me all my life. He taught me a methodology of how to overcome crowds. At that time, the Jamarat wasn't what it is like today, very, very
difficult.
It was quite, it used to be crowds and a lot of pushing and shoving and falling, etc. So Hazrat Mawlana took me with him, just the two of us, and he taught me how to overcome crowds, how to manage a crowd. And very calmly, we went on to the other side, where there were very few people pelting. And alhamdulillah, very, very peacefully we pelted, alhamdulillah. So that was prior to him being an ustad as well. Then alhamdulillah, we had the good fortune of being the student of Hazrat Mawlana, unworthy as I am. But we were very, very fortunate to have a personality of the likes of Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullah Ali as our teacher. He was not only a teacher, subsequently he even became a friend that one could talk to him, confide in him as well. Unfortunately, we take people for granted. It's human nature. And we only realize the worth of people once they leave. And when Mawlana, you host these kind of programs and we hear the various ulama who have passed on, and we pay tribute to them after they pass on. And then we have those regrets that when they were living, why couldn't I have spent more time with these kind of people, with such great people, such great ulama, benefited more from them. We sometimes are filled with regrets, unfortunately, when these personalities pass on.
That is so true, and I think one aspect that we always try and speak about is that we should try and acknowledge the ulama and the people that are still alive amongst us, go to them, benefit from them. There is so much that one can learn from them, from those that are alive. Our Ustad Qari Ayub Ishaq Sahab Damat Barakatum always say, Ke tum log murda parast ho, you all are like grave worshippers, meaning that you all only acknowledge those that have passed on, while those that are alive, you do not take cognizance of their presence, keep in taluk with them, keep in touch with them, take their advice, take their counsel, take their dua. Definitely these are shortcomings from our side, and this program only intends to highlight that. So be cognizant about that, respected listeners. And there are many great senior ulama amongst us. Maulana is a teacher in his dars. What was Maulana's dars like when a person would sit in his Bukhari dars or one of the other kitab that Hazrat had taught?
Hazrat was a very disciplined person in terms of punctuality in his class, and he was very, very particular about paying attention in his class. What used to really annoy him if somebody falls asleep in his class, that used to be something that one had to take note of in his class, never to fall asleep. And he would take exception to that. And you know, generally what happens in the Darul Uloom as well, as one is studying as well, seated on the floor, one tends to fall asleep now and then, or gain a few, you know, wings. But with Maulana's class, you have to be very particular and very attentive that that does not happen. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali was a very modest person. Even when it came to Masla Masail, discussing certain Masla Masail, he was very modest in terms of what he would discuss, etc. He had a very high degree of haya. And Hazrat had a royal authority and an awe about him. Anyone who came into contact with him would know about this awe that he commanded. It was something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with, this kind of an awe, that a student will feel that, strain of that awe in his presence. And Hazrat could be very straightforward as well. And this was his manner in his life also, that he would be very straightforward when he needs to say something, very precise, very clear, very sharp. At the same time, he had a terrific sense of humor as well. When he'll find something amusing, then he used to go red. Hazrat was very fair in complexion, and he used to become absolutely red, when he found something very amusing. And he had a very, very good sense of humor as well. How profound, Maulana, you mentioned the words of our beloved Ustad Qari Ayub Ishaq Sahab, Damat Barakatum. How profound those words are, that we do not appreciate people, unfortunately, when they live and when they pass on. Then we tend to appreciate them, and then we reminiscence about their life. And not only reminiscence and celebrate their life, but we regret the fact that we could have spent much more time with these kind of people. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, Maulana, if I can just share some other aspects of his life.
Please do so, Maulana.
The istiqamat of this personality, Hazrat Maulana Harun Abbas Umar Rahmatullah Ali, the istiqamat to be an imam of a masjid for 43 years. For 30 years, he was the only imam. And he was an imam from a young age. In his late 20s, he became the imam. I think it was around the year 77, 78, around that year. In his 20s, he became the imam of the masjid and remained the imam till his death, 43 years holding a musalla. It's no simple feat. Any alim who does imamah, or any imam who's doing imamah, will attest to the fact that it is a very disciplined job. It's not an easy job. There are many ulama who will refuse to do imamah due to the discipline that one has to adhere to at all times. And here a man, 43 years of his life, he is the imam of a masjid. But what is even more amazing, that this is an individual who could teach Alif Ba right up to Bukhari Sharif. This is the amazing part. Sure. That at the same time he was teaching Hadith, he was teaching in the Maktab as well. He never gave up the responsibility of the Maktab. And from this we can see how close the Maktab was to his heart, that it remained so close that he was actively involved in teaching Maktab. and at the same time teaching up to Bukhari Sharif, Tafsir and Hadith. And then Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, when we were in Madrasa, then he used to travel as well, going out to, he started going at a later stage to Camperdown to teach Hadith there as well. A long distance, if in a round trip, it was quite a long distance. So it was something so admirable that despite his age and his illness also, the fact that he was making such khidmat of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A few other aspects that he was once seen in 1999. An alim from South Africa happened to see him in the Hatim. It was the month of Ramadan. And Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, I presume, made many hajj, because annually he used to go for hajj in those days. When there were no quota system, it was much more easier to go for hajj. So annually he used to go for hajj. But not only for hajj he used to go, he used to also go for Ramadan every year and make umrah in Ramadan as well. It was the year 1999 and he was seen in the Hatim. And we can understand the crowds in the month of Ramadan and the desire of people to be seated in the Hatim itself. And he was seated with none other than the Imam of the Haram, Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sudais. And there was one other person, the three of them who were sitting. It was Maulana Shabir Saduji Sahib. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him with good health and afia.
Ameen, ameen.
Hazrat's health is not too good as well. So these three individuals are seen making the iftar in the Hatim. What an enviable scene that must have been, subhanallah. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali was also very, very particular about Tasbih Fatimi, and he used to stress on the importance of the ulama observing Tasbih Fatimi. So after every salah, one will notice that he will be particular about reading his Tasbihat. And even his salat generally used to be the Masnoon Surahs. Even his Salat al-Dhuhr used to be much more lengthier than other masajid that one would attend. He also used to engage in lengthy du'as, even after Salatul Asr. We read our salats behind him while we were studying in Sipingo Beach at Madrasa Ta'limuddin. Even his Salatul Asr, the du'a would be quite lengthy after Asr. And there was so much of devotion in his du'a. When one used to engage with him, and if one had to do any favor for him in any way or do of any khidmat to him, then he tended to give a lot of dua, alhamdulillah. And we have heard there were so many tributes written about him. There have been so many articles written about him by the Jamiatul Ulama KZN, by his son Maulana Muhammad Abbas Umar, by Madrasa Ta'limuddin a day or two ago. They also wrote a tribute about Maulana. And the outstanding feature in the life of Hazrat Maulana was the quality of khidmat, of being of service to his fellow man, particularly in terms of visiting the sick and making ta'ziyat of the bereaved. So he was particular about this aspect, that even while he was so sick, but after his dialysis, he will go and meet all the sick in the hospital, and he will give them support and encouragement. And just this afternoon, a man explained to me that his daughter, I will just use her first name only and not her surname, a young daughter by the name of Nabila, the father mentioned that she used to attend to Hazrat Maulana in his dialysis treatment. And he used to give her a lot of dua. And one of the duas, she was not married at that stage. And one of the duas that Hazrat Maulana gave her, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala find her a good husband and a good suitor. And alhamdulillah, she got married subsequently to that. And the father was explaining that how much of dua Hazrat Maulana gave her as well. He was so cognizant of the little things. There was a doctor who explained that Hazrat Maulana came to visit him. And he was living on the beachfront of Durban, and the lifts in the building were not working on that day. Hazrat Maulana climbed 14 stories to go visit the person for a few minutes. 14.
Subhanallah.
In a state where he was diabetic, he had health complications, he was on dialysis, but he climbed 14 stories just to go visit one sick person. If it was myself, we would have said, you know what, I will come back some other time when the lift is working. Or we will make a phone call. But here was a man who climbed 14 steps with such humility.
Subhanallah.
Visits 14 floors, I mean, and just to visit somebody, to fulfill this important sunnah. And he's to always stress on us as students as well, the importance of social interaction with the community, understanding the youth, familiarizing ourselves with the youth, becoming friends with them, learning their first names as well, so that when they have a problem, then we become the first port of call that they can come to and explain their difficulties, etc. Also, as far as ta'ziyat goes, Mawlana was extremely particular on these two very, very important sunnahs, and they really featured in his life as well. Mawlana's simplicity was legendary. His nephew mentioned to us that he heard his uncle say something to this effect, that an alim doesn't drive a brand new car. Something that we will not even consider, but Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullah Ali never drove a brand new car in his life, and he did not feel it good that an alim should be even driving a brand new car. This was the level of his personal simplicity. I also came across an article where Hazrat Mawlana was giving dars, and they were discussing the fact of Eid. It is masnoon, we all know, to wear either new clothes or the best of our clothing. But Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullah Ali never had any particular Eid clothes prepared for himself. What he wore every day, the same simple clothes he will wear on the day of Eid as well. And one used to always find him. We cannot remember Mawlana ever attired in anything besides a white kurta. Always it was a white hat, a white kurta, and a white topi. An ijar. So this was his simplicity. It is noteworthy that there was a person, I think it also to give credit to this person by the name of Brother Nasir Abdullah, who had dedicated the last few years of Hazrat Mawlana's life. This Brother Nasir had dedicated himself to the khidmat of Hazrat Mawlana Harun Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, and he used to drive Hazrat Mawlana wherever he wanted to go. He used to be in the presence of Hazrat Mawlana. He was like the personal attendant of Hazrat Mawlana, Rahmatullah Ali. So I think this person by the name of Nasir Abdullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give him jazai khair and great
Ameen, Ameen.
For having taken out his time and energies in the khidmat of this great luminary, Hazrat Mawlana Harun Abbasab, Rahmatullahi Alayhi.
Mawlana, jazakallah so much for your time this evening. Much, much appreciated.
Jazakumullah khair, Mawlana.
In terms of giving the listeners an understanding of the of Hazrat Mawlana Harun Abbas Umar, so in terms of his life, just to put into perspective his khidmat, and then I want to make one point and then probably conclude on that with regards to how much Mawlana had served in the different spheres. Mawlana Ahmad Aku sends me a message. He said that one aspect that we always forget is that Mawlana had the ability to interact with teenagers and young adults in the morning, and then have the patience to deal with the young maktabs, with the kids in the maktab. Each of that is a skill that is not always possible for everyone to achieve. People speak of 43 years of imamat, which is amazing. More amazing than that, it was done in one masjid. So it speaks of a person, his personality, his contentment, his forbearance to be able to deal with all the challenges that come in one particular place. We don't always see that. Another aspect that we have to realize is that Mawlana, in terms of his service and his khidmat, he was the imam at the Ispingo for 43 years, the masjid. He was the principal of the maktab. He taught at Madrasa Ta'limuddin in Ispingo for probably more than 20 years. He was also the founder of the Darul Hadith Research Center. He was a trustee at the Darul Uloom of Newcastle. He was the Amir of Madrasa Anwarul Islam in Cape Town. He was the Amir of Madrasatul Binnori, consisting of over 50 maktabs in the Philippines. He headed a project of the Makatib in the for the Syrian refugees. He was a trustee of many institutes and masajid, and he was a supporter of the Khatmun Nubuwa in the last few years. Putting all that together, that is the personality that Mawlana had in him. It is said, Maulana Ahmad Aku sends me, it is a known fact, Maulana would travel a distance of 160 kilometers to Camperdown to teach Bukhari Sharif. Many are not aware that the whole travel duration, he would be reciting Quran in this year. So just to understand, and now I want to bring into a perspective another aspect, and that is the mutual love, understanding, commitment, and worry that our elders had for each other. We don't always see that. Last year, when Darul Ihsan hosted the Southern African Ulama conference that was held in Durban, so at that time, I was fortunate enough to be with three of our elders, Maulana Abbas Jina, Maulana Ayub Saab Kachwi, and Maulana Abbas Ali Zubair Ali. So someone was said that Hazrat Maulana Harun Saab was going to come for the program, or he was going to address. And then they said, you know what, Maulana is not doing too well, so he will not be attending. So Maulana Abbas Saab told me, whatever happens, before we leave, you make the arrangements, we must meet Maulana. So I said, fine, whatever it needs. I started calling around, speaking to Maulana Muhammad, the son, a few others, and explaining to them that, look, our elders want to meet Maulana. When this message was conveyed to him, he was eager now to say that, I want to now meet them as well. But because I think he used to go on dialysis on a Saturday, obviously it's a very tiring process. And somehow or the other, it was decided that Sunday at Dhuhr time, the elders would read Salah at Masjid al-Hilal, and that way Maulana normally would read his Salah and they would meet one another there. But that love, that muhabbat, it took a while for us to wait till Dhuhr Salah time. We would have left much earlier. But our elders insisted that before we leave, we will meet Maulana, then only we will leave. And Maulana said, even if I'm not coming, I'm going to take an extra effort to come so that I may meet the elders that were there. And it was a short 15-minute meeting, inquiring of each other's health, inquiring of the program. But yet that mutual concern, that affection, that mutual love for one another, that mutual respect that they had, that we would not leave back home until we did not meet Maulana Harun, and Maulana Harun would not let us go without making sure that he would come and meet the elders as well. So that is something that perhaps we all should take into consideration, and we all should take into cognizance, that's with regards to the aspects that the elders of had with each other. Another aspect, he saw to the needs of the widows till the day he passed away. His co-imam mentioned that while Maulana was on his way to the hospital, they was making some arrangements that were made for some funds to be remunerated to one or two of the widows that were in the area, because obviously we know the challenging times that they face themselves in and the difficulties that they sometimes go through. One of the other students said, till the end, Hazrat Maulana would make sure he would perform his salah, even though he would be very sick and his sugar levels would be low, even though he would be out of breath. Hazrat Maulana reprimanded me once for not making dua after salah. He said, it is a time for dua and it is a disservice to not ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after salah. So there are so many lessons that we could learn from the life of Maulana. One of the other ulama sent a message. Oh, he would always sit in a bayan with absolute humility, despite being a giant in the field of knowledge himself. Maulana would always be on the side or at the back of the gathering. And in that way, Maulana would always make sure that he would sit at one of the guests or one of the lecturers that were there, so that those points or whatever they could be learned would not be left without taking some sort of advantage from there. And these are the life of the Akabir. Some of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed them. They served almost all the fields, and some of them kept themselves to a certain field, but they ensured that they done it equally to its full. And this is the life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed us. When we know and we interact with some people like that, these are some of the interactions that we would learn from them. And another thing I would like to say, again stressing that Maulana, in terms of his jami'iyat and in terms of his, you know, having the ability that to teach Bukhari Sharif in two madrasas, then to make imamat and then also to run a maktab in the afternoon is no ordinary feat. It is someone who's consistent, who has the dua of his asatiza, who has contentment for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him. And this was the elders, Hazrat Morana Harun Abbas Umar Saab, rahimahullah. Really, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the company of the pious, those that have passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill the qabrs with nur. Those that are ill amongst us, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them complete shifa, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward each one for all their contributions. Really, there are so many messages that are coming in here. If you go through all, we probably would not be able to manage all. But inshallah ta'ala, we will always redo the program of our elders and our akabir. Once again, to the staff of Talimuddin in Ispingo, the Masjid Committee, the people of the area, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you al-ni'ma al-badal, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for all the khidmat that you are doing, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Morana the highest of stages in Jannatul Firdaus. From myself, Ubaidullah Boja, until next week, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.